we can build teams together and work together, and we all do better because of it. You know, we all bring these strengths that really amplify our abilities as a team. And that really, once I realized the power of a team, it was amazing.
We know that building wealth comes from owning businesses and making investments. Yet why still do nearly half of businesses fail in the first 5 years? And why do others lose it all in their investments?
Welcome to the Wealth Watchers Podcast, your resource for building a massive net worth. We bring real stories from real people who are experts in business and investing, who will share secrets and actionable strategies to amassing wealth and achieving success. Brought to you by Happy Camper Capital. And now, your hosts, Justin Hoggett and Adam Lendy.
Welcome back to the Wealth Watchers Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lendy. With me today is my co-host, Justin Hoggett. Justin, how are you doing?
Hey, doing great, Adam. You know, I don't know when this is going to air, but we have a OHCE, the ARVIC, the Association of RV Campgrounds. The OHCE is Outdoor Hospitality Conference and Expo coming up next week, which by the time this airs, we'll be done with that. But that's pretty exciting. I think we're going to have a great time in Raleigh, North Carolina.
So excited for that, man. Yeah, we're excited to get out there, learn some tools, meet some people. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Awesome. Great. Well, I want to bring somebody in who's in our space. It should be a great conversation today. Looking forward to chatting with him. Noel Walton, he's with Joint Chiefs of Real Estate. Noel, how are you?
I'm great. How about you guys?
Doing great. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We're awesome. But it, obviously, as we discussed already, Noel, you're sitting in your RV right now. Where about are you parked?
I'm parked in Temple, Texas right now. So this is where I've been for the last couple of years, stationed at Fort Hood, Texas in the Army. And my wife and I, we have two daughters. We decided, hey, let's get an RV. And we knew that retirement was pending. So decided, hey, let's go full time with this. Sold our house, sold a bunch of belongings, and downsized into the RV. It's been pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, obviously Veterans Day is going to be coming between now and when this one airs. But Noel, thank you for your service.
Yeah, thank you.
Awesome. So Noel, I guess let us know, what is it you do at J-Corps?
So I co-founded the Joint Chiefs of Real Estate with my partner, Miles Spetsios, and actually met him as me being an Air Army captain. He was an Air Force captain. We were both stationed here at Fort Hood, Texas. And we met each other online, you know, online forum, multifamily, and just general real estate forum. And I put the message out, posted on there. Is anyone else here around Fort Hood or Killeen interested in multifamily? And I had just gotten into the space, you know, transitioned from single family investing. And so, you know, we found each other that way, met for coffee, and realized we had some very similar goals and passions and what we wanted to accomplish. And so we decided to give it a shot as a partnership. And shortly after, brought in two other gentlemen, a retired Navy Master Chief and a former Marine who's now working for the State Department, or not State Department, but the Foreign Service, rather. So great team, four of us, all different branches of the military. And that's where the Joint Chiefs term came from. So we started working together last year and waiting to close right now on our third deal together.
That's great. So one year you've closed two and you've got the third one in motion. So is your, and obviously you guys are syndicating these deals, right?
Correct. Yes.
Okay, cool. And what is it your, what's your asset class?
So we deal in apartment buildings, generally 100 units and up. You know, so it depends on the market. Texas, we're looking at 100 and up. This one we're about to close is in Ohio. That one's a 63 unit, a really good deal out there. Good cash flowing deal. Actually, one of our partners is up in that area, one of our sponsors, and he was actually able to source that from one of his connections, and he's very, you know, it's his stomping grounds up in there, right outside of Cleveland, Ohio, and it's great having boots on ground. He's already got his own property management company that's vertically integrated and works out really well, so he's able to jump right in and take over that property.
So going back a little bit, how did you get started in real estate, and what brought you to it, and what was the interest?
My wife and I, we met in college back in 2009 or so in Mobile, Alabama, and she came here on a golf scholarship from Austria, and we met in class, and she came from an entrepreneur family, and so she's always grown up around the entrepreneurship and all of that. And I always had a drive and a passion to get more into that. I'd spent all my life since I was 18 in the military, but I always wanted to learn more, got into some good books and podcasts. And that's what kind of kicked off that initial education and drive to get into the real estate. So bought my first single family home while I was in flight school from the Army in 2011. And, that one has been, it was a learning experience. I bought it too high, paid too much for it. And, but learned a lot along the way, and it still cash flowed just barely, and, learned how to deal with some tenants and issues like that. Then we moved around and kept property management in place, used the VA loan a couple of times, got a house in Hawaii that we made some, good appreciation off of. That was nice. And, a lot of good benefits that, I encourage a lot of military members, make sure you're using your VA benefits, especially on houses. A lot of people doing the house hacking now with that, where they buy the duplex, triplex, fourplex with a VA loan and rent the other units out, live for free. That's always a great thing. I always encourage people to jump on that if they're able. That's kind of how we started. And it was just house to house. Then in 2017, made it back to Fort Rucker, Alabama. And by that point, we had enough confidence where, hey, that stuff's easy. Let's jump to the next hardest thing. So we did some fix and flips, and probably about five or six of those while we were stationed there, and built up a little more capital. And it was, we had our first daughter in 2016. So, time was getting a little more scarce. And then we had our second daughter in 2019. And about that time is that's when we realized we got to find a way to scale, because we don't have the time to, with two girls now, being that young, how are we going to build up the single family stuff? So that's what brought us to the multifamily. So I did some digging and found a great coach, mentor, got me really deep in the launch pad for my education, really is what it was. And I jumped into that, took off, and that's, the thing, that's where things grew from there.
So Noel, what happened next?
So, really realizing that, being active military with two young kids and everything, how do I scale this? It really came down to, multifamily was the obvious choice. And the more I read about it, it just made sense. So I was able to find a great coach and mentor and education program. And that really saved me, years of time that potentially I would have, trying to figure it out on my own. And that's what, really launched me into the multifamily side of things and built my network extremely fast and my education level, and really got me to the mindset that I needed in order to, be able to take such a big leap.
Yeah. Now we're talking about whole different animal, right? This isn't you using VA loans to buy, single families and duplexes anymore, or, helping other people do that. So, what challenges did you find getting into multifamily?
So, obviously a lot of the challenges are, a majority of these in the multifamily space are just self-limiting beliefs. And that's really the biggest hurdle I had to get past was my own mind. And oh, I don't have money, these cost millions of dollars. And, I don't know, there's so many things that could go wrong on something that big. And, all these things that go through your mind. But that's, honestly, that was getting past those. And that's really where having the right network and the right education helped get, in a coaching especially, really got me past that point and helped me understand that, hey, I don't need to have the money. I just need to take action. And here's the right action steps that can be taken now, you know, and just staying persistent with it. That's really what got me moving with that. And especially having co-founded a team, you know, we were able to really bounce ideas off of each other, help make each other better. And especially, you know, really determine what our strengths were. You know, each one of us have our own strengths that we're really good at. And by examining that and identifying that and helping each other identify what our own strengths were, we were able to plug into the tasks or the roles within the team that we were best suited for.
Well, that makes a lot of sense. Obviously, having somebody else's experience helps. So the mentor and the coaching, you know, bridge that gap for you. But, you know, just what ended up being the solution for the financing? Like you mentioned, these things are millions of dollars. So what did you end up coming up with?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, really the way that you take down these large apartment complexes is through a syndication. So, you know, we're able to pool together multiple investors that want to go into these deals and have a piece of the equity. And, you know, usually it'll be $50,000 or $100,000 minimum. But as an active general partnership team, you know, it's our job to build the trust with people and have that network and let them know that, hey, we can show you how this is a good investment and this is our business plan. Here's the risks associated. Here's how we're going to mitigate those risks. But as far as the financing side of it, obviously, you know, a lot of these large complexes, you want to get the agency debt on these because, you know, they're non-recourse. They are, you know, really, they're made for this, you know, large $1 million and up loans. So our deal that we closed back in March was a $12 million deal with about a $9 million loan on it. And, you know, in order to qualify for that, we didn't have the experience and, you know, as our team being new, we didn't have, you know, the net worth, the experience, the liquidity, which are all requirements for a Fannie Mae loan or a Freddie Mac loan of these, you know, these agency loans. So, my coach, having been in the business for 20 years, he jumped in there as our sponsor for this loan and brought those requirements for our team. And we were able to, you know, obviously qualify for that. And we all were able to be signers on that loan, which gives us a track record with the lending agencies and, you know, really starts off our resume.
Yeah, interesting. Now that first was a $3 million raise, is that right?
Yeah, it was roughly total was about a 4.5. We had about 1.5 million of preferred equity, and then the rest was all organically raised through friends, family, and other connections, professional connections that we had.
Great. And how did that first fundraise go? And then I'm curious also to know, I guess, maybe a follow up to that, you know, how subsequent fundraisers have gone for you in your second and now your third.
Yeah. So the first one, you know, it was definitely a bear. It was challenging. So it was around December when we went under contract. And I will say this as a, key piece of advice. If you can avoid raising capital during the holidays, your life will be easier. we really made very little progress on capital raise for about the first month into January because, everybody's either on vacation for the holidays or they're buying their Christmas gifts for their family. You know, nobody's really in that investment mindset during that time. And it makes perfect sense. But, it's just one of those things. We lost a good amount of time there. And then it was roughly around, the first to second week of January where all of a sudden all these people that we had messaged and were now, now we're able to reach them. They're responding to messages and emails. Just like a switch turned on. So, you know, it was like, wow, okay, people are back to work. They're back into the normal grind. And now they're actually, they're thinking about investing. So that was a challenge there, but, you know, we kept after it. We had to get a couple of extensions onto our contract as well. But, you know, we ended up finally closing in the middle of March, and it was, you know, it was a race to the finish. We ended up raising everything we needed to close. Not as much as we wanted to, you know, make sure we paid ourselves for an acquisition fee. And that's a learning lesson there, you know, is, we did jump in and take a big challenge. And, I think by doing that, we learned a lot, but of course we ended up missing out a little bit on, you know, getting our full acquisition fee. But ultimately, you know, it's about making sure the investors get what we project for them, you know, and keeping that relationship good with them and taking care of their money. That's more the most important part of it for us.
Got it. So those extensions you had, were those due to the I guess lack of funds raised, or was it for other reasons in that first one?
So actually, it came about first as the bank actually needed a little bit more time to complete what they were doing as far as their appraisals and inspections that they require. So you know, we were able to get those extensions pretty easily, and that helped us out too. So versus us having to go to the seller and say, hey, we need more time to raise more money, he'd be either less likely to grant an extension or potentially would you know, require more money added to the, you know, essentially, you know, buyer extension for more, you know, $5,000 or $10,000. I've seen some $50,000 for an additional 2 weeks, you know. So yeah, that was one of the things that helped out there. But you know, even with that extended timeline, yeah, we were working really hard on that capital raise. And like I said, we made the finish line. It was a close one though.
Right. And you said that was primarily friends and family in that one.
Yeah, a few friends and family. And a lot of it was, you know, the networks that we had built through the multifamily investing. There were, you know, a lot of folks on LinkedIn that I had networked with before, had calls with on Zoom before. So it's all about networking, and really this business is a people business. You know, you have to stay after it. But, you know, all of that hard work we did during that time and since then really paid off on this last deal. And this one in Ohio that we're on, all we're doing now is just waiting for the bank to finish what they're doing to close. But we ended up overcommitted on that one, actually. And we did that within about 30 days. So, I mean, it was a smaller raise, but, you know, it was probably about half the amount of raise that we had on the other one. But the fact that we overcommitted in less than a month, you know, that was a good feeling. And it was like, hey, you know, now we know, you know, it helped out that we had already established that track record with the first one. People saw, hey, they closed a big deal. We're on people's radars at that point. You know, it helps out. And then, you know, there's more investors who are like, hey, I want to get in on some of these opportunities as well. So that, I think that really helped. And then, you know, once we got into that, it was, like I said, we were overcommitted very quickly. And we've even since had people contact us saying, can I still get in on this? And like, hey, you're going to be on a wait list. But you know, if not, then, you know, we'll have you right there ready for the next deal that comes along.
Yeah. So what lessons learned from the first one did you carry into that next one that I guess helped you get that raise done so quickly?
You know, really, I would say the main lesson learned on the first one is always, you know, always be building your network, always be, you know, increasing your list of investors, you know, and tell everybody you know what you do. If you're in this business as an active syndicator, you know, you need to continue building that list, building those relationships, and building the trust through your credibility, through your knowledge and education, things like that. You know, giving back value. People can see, hey, he or she's got you know, a lot of knowledge, and they're willing to share it, and that, you know, that helps show that, hey, you know what you're talking about, but you're not just holding that information or trying to make money off people for that information. You know, you're out there helping other people grow too. So, and that's what we try to do. We're super passionate about educating people and even people who have never invested in syndications before. And we love to bring those people into our circle as well, because, you know, everybody's got to start somewhere. And we love that. You know, we love to let them know that, hey, you know, we're going to help educate you so you're comfortable with this. And we're not going to let you invest until you understand it, until, you know, we've given you the ins and outs of the risks that are involved with this. And we're not going to lead you blindly into something. And, we want to make sure you're taken care of.
Right. So what are some of the strategies you've employed to growing that network? You know, obviously you mentioned telling everybody, but are there any tricks that you've learned to help grow that list?
Yeah. I mean, there's several fronts. A lot of it is, I would do a lot of interactions on social media, and those including Instagram, LinkedIn, Facebook. We've got our J-Core pages on all those platforms. And Clubhouse is another one that has been phenomenal. I've made some great connections there. We haven't been as consistent, but some of the Clubhouse meetings and just talking about different topics on multifamily investing. And we'll plan to get some more of those going again soon. But lately we've actually, just in the last 2 months, we just launched our Wealth Tank Mastermind. And that is an online Zoom meetup that we do the first and third Thursdays of every month. In the evenings. And that's been great. We've been just inviting experienced guest speakers, and we let them tell their story, kind of almost in a podcast format, but they'll basically have the floor for most of the time. And we'll have a question and answer session that we'll hold right after that. And then once questions are done, we just have networking, we'll go into breakout rooms and let people network, meet each other, find out where they can bring value and synergy to each other. So it's a really great, awesome time to bring minds together.
That's awesome. So what you're offering is kind of like what you're doing right now with us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's great. I love talking about real estate, and it's not one of these things where, you want to keep these secrets to yourself. You want to help other people succeed in life too, and let them know, like, this is not rocket science. You don't have to be a millionaire to get a piece of an apartment building and experience the scalability and the returns that you can get from those.
Right. Now, how about your deals? How are you sourcing these properties you're finding?
So, a lot of it is broker relationships, and that's a huge part of it. And we try to focus a lot of our efforts on meeting, connecting with brokers and growing those relationships and letting them, keeping ourselves to the top of their minds, letting them know about our team, who we are, what our values are. Also, it's important that they know what our criteria is for what class of apartment building, what size, what location, all these types of things, how old or new. There's all kinds of criteria. So that way they know they're sending the right stuff to us. The more credibility we show with them, just like we show credibility to investors, they think of us when they find a deal that meets our criteria, and they'll give us a call. Hey, I got this one that just showed up. Would you like to find out about this or take a look at it? So that's a lot of it. Just deepening those relationships, and there's other sources that we're exploring for off market deals as well, but we just have not pulled the trigger on that yet. But we expect to get some good opportunities there as well.
So Noel, can you tell us a little bit about your criteria when you're setting up opportunities, and what are you looking for? And are you looking for opportunities that are maybe underperforming, maybe need some maintenance? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. We look like large complexes, generally 100 units and up. We definitely look for deferred maintenance under or, you know, very mismanaged properties, and that there's huge upside to those. And so, you know, those are all criteria we look for. And you know, how we really get value back for our investors is finding those huge opportunities where we can, you know, someone's mismanaged or not taking care of the property. You know, it's just got a bad reputation, things like that. We can go in and really turn those around and rebrand, get a whole new feel, a whole new name to it. And then, you know, by doing that, we're able to, you know, really attract better tenants, residents for those apartments. And, you know, then really there's usually always a lot of residents that have been in there that have not been paying or have huge debts. You know, unfortunately, like, we have to get those people out, you know, that's just the nature of the business. And, but by doing that, you know, we generally have a good number of vacant units right off the bat that we can go in and renovate, raise rents on, and put new residents in there. And that's part of that value add strategy. You know, we really like the value add because it allows us to force appreciation and, then go in and refinance at a later point, you know, a couple years into ownership, and return cash back to our investors while they're still getting those monthly cash flows.
Excellent. How do you find all this time to do this?
It's really all about having a team. You know, it's tough. You know, I've been active duty for almost 17 years. I'm actually retiring at the end of the year as a medical retirement. And, but that's going to really open up my calendar significantly, allow me to focus more time into it. But having a team of four has been amazing. You know, with all the strengths that we have, we're able to really divvy out our duties very well. And, you know, between calls and everything, you know, we hold our weekly meetings on Zoom. You know, it's nice, you know, really spreading the wealth of all the duties that are required, for sure. And really the biggest time suck for us this year was the capital raise. And, you know, as we've been growing, we noticed starting out, it was us having to go find investors. And now as we've grown, the goal now is to have investors come to find us. So that's really where we're going now, is setting things up, you know, having our platform where people can find our website, download some really great free information. And, you know, if we're a team that speaks to them, if it's a good fit for them and they want to invest with us, we can set up a call and see if it's a good fit. But, you know, that's a much more efficient way of going about it versus us having to go to every single person in our LinkedIn contacts list, sending messages, making phone calls, you know. And when you start out, a lot of that is necessary. But, you know, it's just as you grow and gain that credibility and that track record, you know, then, you know, now people see, okay, they know what they're doing now, you know. And that's where we're headed now, is to really alleviate a lot of that time demand through that those automations.
Great. And Noel, of course, you know, this episode is going to air, you know, right after Thanksgiving. So are you going to have any upcoming opportunities that you're looking to share at that time?
So, you know, right now we've paused on the acquisitions really through the end of the year, just because of the holiday period. And right now this year is the last year for the 100% bonus depreciation. So that's causing everyone to get into deals and, like, they have to close by the end of the year. So it's a madhouse out there right now. And I think that's what's slowing down our closing right now too, even though we've been in it for a couple of months now. So, yeah, we decided, hey, we're going to back off right now at least for the next 2 months. Right around, you know, mid end of December, we'll start really looking at, start underwriting properties again and putting offers out. And, January is going to be, you know, we're gearing up to hit it hard in 22. So, absolutely, you know, looking forward to meeting more connections, more people interested in our opportunities, and having them join our journey with us.
Awesome. And obviously, since you will have some coming up soon, if this resonated with anybody, where can they find your opportunities?
So, first off, you can check out our website. It's jcoreinvestments.com. That's our main website. You can see what deals we've done there. Some great free information. And you can get on our regular newsletter, or you can actually join our, if you're interested and want to find out about upcoming deals, just sign up for our investor club there, and you will get instant email alerts as soon as we have those, preparing to get those under contract, and you'll know when our webinars are coming up for those. And besides that, follow us on social media platforms. We've got the, Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram right now, and we'll be looking to expand out in some others as well in the future. If you're on Clubhouse, you can find me on there as well. But always love to connect. It's always great to meet new people and see if how we can help.
Awesome. Well, Noel, thanks for coming on and sharing today. Before we let you go, we'd like to turn it over to Justin for the Wealth Watchers Brain Pick.
All right, Noel, we got 5 questions for you. First one, what is your superpower or unique natural ability?
For me, my main superpower and what I utilize in our business is the relationship building. And, that's been my primary focus. And I love meeting new people. Like I said, I love hearing their stories. Find out what their pain points are and if it's something that we can bring value. I love to just sit down and talk Zoom calls or in person, coffee, whatever. If you're in Texas, love to meet in person. I'm in Central Temple, Texas right now. And, anytime in the future, hit me up and I'll probably be a Zoom call depending on where I am in the country.
Yeah. If you were to go back 3 to 5 years, what might you have done differently that you wish you could have done?
I would have jumped into large properties like this in the syndication side much sooner. That's honestly what I would have done. Single family was nice and I learned a lot, but it's not necessary. And that's what a lot of people think, is they have to start with the single family and then they have to slowly work their way up into a duplex and that's not the case at all. It's a totally different business, a totally different mindset. And, you don't have to have really any experience necessarily. The best way to do this is if you want to do it actively, find someone who has a track record and jump in with them and start learning. And that's what I would have done differently.
Got it. Where are you headed in the next 3 to 5 years?
So, as I am retiring out of the Army at the end of this year, I'm going to be doing this full time, growing the Joint Chiefs of Real Estate. We plan to, really expand our footprint of properties, aiming for 4 deals for 22 is our target goal. And, we have been, discussing and planning how we're going to scale into potential, property management, if that's something that, depending on where our properties are, but that's, things that are right now kind of in the target is, hey, we'd want to expand this with, vertically integration with other, symbiotic, like, construction, property management, things like that. But ultimately, yeah, we definitely want to be at least 4 to 5 deals a year from here on. And continue growing. And, as we need to transition into, that vertical integration to where it makes sense, obviously at some point when we get under so many properties under management, we will really have to make that move start seeing larger savings in that area. And as far as the maintenance and construction and things like that. So that's where we see ourselves is, taking that on to a much bigger level.
Excellent. Well, good luck with that. Do you have a favorite book on business or money?
I, There are a lot, but I will say, you know, probably the first one that made that mindset shift was the Robert Kiyosaki, you know, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and the Cash Flow Quadrant. You know, those kind of go hand in hand. But, you know, there's more that I read now that are higher level, more specific to what we do and all of that. But honestly, I gotta say, you know, being the first one that really made that mindset shift and that whole different path, it's, you know, kind of set that course for my wife and I. You know, I would have to say that was my favorite.
Absolutely. Resonates with a lot of people. And then what has been your biggest aha moment?
You know, really, like I said, making that move from the single family into the multifamily and realizing how much different the mindset is. And it was like the going from this scarcity mindset to an abundance mindset. It was just like that aha was, wow, we can build teams together and work together and we all do better because of it. You know, we all bring these strengths that really amplify our abilities as a team. And there's not that competition that you generally see in the single family side where everybody wants to, you know, keep your deals a secret and you're doing it on your own. That mindset of, oh, I need to own these by myself. I can't have a partner. It's so different with the multifamily. And that really, once I realized the power of a team, it was amazing.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Noel.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
I'd say real estate is definitely a team sport. We echo that sentiment for sure. Noel, we're grateful for having you on today. Thanks for coming on with us and recording.
Yeah. Thank you guys.
Yeah. Appreciate you having you on.
Enjoyed it.
This has been another episode of the Wealth Watchers Podcast. I'm your host, Adam Lundy, from my co-host, Justin Hoggett, and I. Thanks for listening.
All right. Appreciate it, guys. Until next time.
This has been the Wealth Watchers Podcast. If you enjoyed this content, please subscribe and leave a review on your podcast player of choice. Join us on Facebook, where our members and guests are actively engaging in discussions on wealth-growing strategies by searching for Wealth Watchers Community on Facebook.